Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I'm Jamie Lee Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quit lit authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome. This is Jamie Lee Grace with the podcast. Wow, what a week it's been. I've barely come up for air. I swear, if you've seen any of my Instagram posts or Facebook posts this week, you'll know that I think I've had one of the busiest weeks of my entire life, literally. So I've launched the Sober Club, and welcome to all of you listening who are already members. It's such a rocking community. I can't believe it. We've literally, within a few hours of opening, I had people kind of knocking on the door. Virtually. And it's been fantastic. I'll tell you a bit more about that later. And then in addition to that, I've also had my Platinum Awards this week. I do as much as I can to recognise the best in natural and organic products. And we had our awards event on Wednesday in central London at a great little studio there and vegan cafe called Hello Love. And it was such a lovely event, just really great to bring together people who have all created natural and organic brands and sustainable brands. And it was really good. It was a great energy. And of course, because it's my train set, if you like, I had an alcohol-free category in there as well. So we had some winners for alcohol-free drinks. So big congratulations to Sea Arch, the Not Gin Limited, who won winners for their fabulous botanical drink, which is the entire reason that my husband doesn't actually drink anymore, because why would you need to when you've got amazing drinks like Sea Arch? That's his favourite. And then also wins for Jeffrey's Tonic and for Nonsuch Shrubs. So that was really cool. And next year, I really hope that category is much, much bigger and we get loads of entries, because it'd be great to celebrate even more alcohol-free drinks. And then also we do section of the awards for books, for authors, and also kind of courses and retreats. So we had a win for Quantum Sobriety for their Inner Guidance retreats. I'm sure I've told you about that before. Fabulous, amazing retreat in Suffolk. And also for Andy Ramage from One Year No Beer. Well, Andy was there, but obviously the award was for One Year No Beer for their online challenge. So it was great to be able to give a little bit of a recognition to those guys. So the awards was a great event. I've been so mega busy. It's been off the scale, but it's been a really great week. So last Saturday, it was lovely to see some of you at the event that we had at the JGO in London, which was all set up by Sober Dave. Sober Dave One on Instagram. It was really cool. We had live music. Broken Dollars were playing a set, and we had some great drinks courtesy of Sensa Natural Spirits, plant-based spirits. And then we had Dave spoke a bit, and we had Rock Sober with their new alcohol-free beer. And of course, that was the official, in inverted commas, launch of the Sober Club. I think Sober Dave was my first actual proper member, if I'm not mistaken, which is really cool. It's about 6:30 a.m. Saturday morning. Thank you, Dave, if you're listening. But it has been great, and we're open, as I've said before. It's a beta launch, so what that means is, it's a cheaper rate, basically, is what it means, because we've already got some loads of fantastic stuff in there, but we're only going to leave it open at this beta rate for till Sunday 22nd. So there's just over a week to go. And the idea is that we're going to have our intake, if you like, of founder members. I was advised by goodness knows how many business people to limit that intake to a maximum of 50 members at the most. But I'm not going to do that, because I know that the people who want to come in at this point really want to be in this community, and they're the people we want. So if you're interested, you can actually help shape it. Already, we've got people, you know, making some great suggestions, loving the content that's there. Of course, we do have a Facebook group attached to it as well, which you don't have to be part of. Obviously, there's loads of resources within the Sober Club without needing to be part of the Facebook group. But if you want to do both, that's absolutely amazing. But currently, the Sober Club Facebook group is just for our members. just to not confuse anything. I think I might have mentioned before, in the Sober Club, we've got an online course called Get the Buzz Without the Booze that's delivered weekly. And so that's perfect for you if you are at the early stages, or indeed if you are going to try and quit something else or try and reframe your habits around something else. I think it's really important to stress as well that the Sober Club is not just for people who are thinking about giving up or about to give up. I really am very mindful of the different stages that people are at. So yes, if you're just at the beginning of your journey, that's absolutely fine. But if you've been sober 4 years, as some of our members have been, the club is still for you, because the main emphasis is on what now. You know, it's not on the day-to-day struggles. Of course, there'll be some people who are at those early stages and there's loads of support there. But the real point of this club is what now? You know, you've made that decision. Now let's look at every other aspect of your life, the health, the well-being, the mindset, the fitness, the relationships, the passion and purpose, but underpinned by this alcohol-free life choice that you've made. So it's been, honestly, I'm so made up at the moment, the community. I could not have wished for a more unbelievably amazing group of people that all are supporting each other. And it's just been fantastic in the Facebook group. And then within the Sober Club, as I say, I think I said before, I've got some just fantastic experts. I'm so blessed to be able to ring people up and say, will you do an interview with me? And they go, okay. So there is a 3-video series with William Porter, author of Alcohol Explained, about beating cravings, which of course works for anything, not just alcohol. So if you've been sober a long time, but now you want to really focus on your sugar habit or cigarettes or whatever it might be, then that could be hugely useful for you. You get a free download when you join the club, worth $9.99, from Elsa Frank, our resident, if you like, hypnotherapist, called De-Stress Your Life. So that's a great little relaxation audio download, fantastic for anything really. And then there's lots of content in the club, and it's growing all the time. And as I say, we're bringing in lots of different experts. So whatever it is you're interested in and focused on, hopefully you're going to be able to find something super useful for you at that point. So it's thesoberclub.com if you're interested. And you'll be pleased to know I've got a guest this week. It's not just me talking. One of the things that we want to very much focus on is nutrition and well-being. And I thought it'd be great to interview a naturopath for the podcast. So Katie Ruan, I was hoping I wasn't going to stumble on her name. I do apologise. Is Harley Street naturopath and really kind of realistic. I love the fact that she's very realistic in her approach, because with all of this, you know, I try and walk a really fine line between being completely holistic and really doing things properly and, you know, really looking to nature for every solution. But by the same token, I'm completely, you know, busy and normal, and I have to get on with my everyday life. And really, that's why I started my website, Imperfectly Natural, because I am imperfect. And no, I don't get absolutely everything right and only ever drink green juice. And I know, I of course I don't. So I really like Katie's approach, because, you know, she is a naturopath, but she's also very realistic, and she gives us some great tips that, you know, we can all kind of include and introduce into our daily lives. So enjoy the interview. So my guest is Katie Ruan, who is a naturopath. Katie, thank you for joining us on the podcast.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. So I've been aware of naturopathy for many, many years and had various sessions, and everything I know about it, I absolutely love. But I'm really aware that there'll be some people who think, well, what exactly is that? So will you tell us what a naturopath is and what you do? And then we'll talk about how that kind of relates for when people are giving up the booze.
Yes, of course. So you're one of the few and far between who knows what a naturopath is. It's really not well known about in this country at all. So the easiest way to explain it is I am defined by a set of principles that I follow, and that's what defines a naturopath, rather than therapies trained in. Mm-hmm. So an acupuncturist, for example, is an acupuncturist because they use acupuncture. A naturopath could use acupuncture, but it's because they stick to their core principles that makes them a naturopath. So the principles are do no harm, treat cause, not symptoms, educate, and you can hopefully get the body into balance using natural means to then allow the body to be in good health again. So that's what guides me in everything that I do, basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm guessing that you know, your basics like nutrition plays a very big part in that.
Yes, absolutely. So my training, so I studied at the University of Westminster, so I've actually got a science degree in my qualification. And yes, so nutrition is very, very important. And then I've also got within my skill set hands-on therapies like reflexology, massage, lymphatic drainage, and those techniques to help support the body as well as what you put into it.
Yeah, fantastic. And so this is slightly an aside, but I'm just interested in your view. I mean, it's something that I talk about a lot when I do various you know, health shows, not necessarily on the podcast, but one thing that frustrates me greatly is that here in the UK, our GPs, you know, have sort of 7 years training, and to the best of my knowledge, they get something like half a day in nutrition, yeah, if that.
Yeah,
Now, I mean, number one, I would sincerely hope that might be changing. But number two, you know, am I right? And if that's the case, how on earth can we have a comprehensive, proper sort of health service if they don't understand these basics? It must drive you bonkers.
It does. It's incredibly challenging.
Yeah.
So I was at something not that long ago talking to a doctor in training. I think he was in towards the end of his degree, and he said, I think they have 12 hours of nutrition in their degree, I think.
Right. Well, that's more than it used to be, I think.
Yeah. No, it has increased. It's incredibly challenging. And I think the way that our healthcare system works is it's reactionary, and it's how to treat or look after people once they're ill. Mm. Whereas in other countries, it's from the preventive approach. So yeah. This conversation it's hours, it's ongoing. But I think there is a shift happening. There's definitely a shift happening. And there are GPs and consultants who are training in nutritional therapy and things like that, and becoming vocal about it, which is incredible, because it helps validate what people like me say. So that the move is happening. It's just quite slow, but it's happening, and that's what I try and focus on. And I think the younger medics coming through the system are so aware of the impact of our environment and what we eat on health that it's only going to get better is in the nicest possible way. The young blood comes through and the older way of thinking leaves.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just talk about your personal journey with alcohol then. What's your story around that?
I used to drink a lot. My parents actually were quite amazing with their approach to alcohol. And from, you know, fairly young, in no damaging way whatsoever, but, you know, if we're on holiday in France or Italy, have a little bit of wine mixed with an awful lot of water. And then when we were teenagers, you know, if we fancied a glass of wine with supper, sitting around the table together as a family, we were allowed to do so, which I think was really helpful, because it meant that in a way my relationship with alcohol was better than some of my friends potentially in the first year of university, who, you know, sort of when you're 18, 19, you can legally drink. Alcohol is, you know, it's this wonderful thing, and you do get quite involved with it. And I think the fact that wasn't my first experience of alcohol, I was more aware of my drinking tolerance. That's not to say I didn't drink an awful lot. I've got Irish blood in me. My father stopped drinking just after I was born, actually. So coming up for 35 years ago. His father was a functioning alcoholic. My uncle was an alcoholic. And I think because of that, and I was very aware of, I was drinking every day. So this was whilst I was studying. And also when you're a student, it is different. Life is different. And you do go out a lot and drink a lot. And I graduated from Edinburgh, where I first studied. And my mother said, fancy giving your liver a bit of a break over the summer. And I thought that's probably not a bad idea. And I just never started again. Mm. And that was in 2008.
Wow.
So, okay. Yeah. And I just discovered that actually I could have a really good time without alcohol. Mm. And I didn't need it as this crutch to get me through the evening. I could start conversations with people without it. And actually, I'm so much better without it. I could become another person. When yeah. I've been drinking, and I didn't like that person at all. And, you know, when you have memory loss and you wake up in the morning and you have shame filling every cell of your body because you can't remember what you did.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not good. That, you know, especially at what, 23, 24.
Sure.
So I'm all or nothing. It yeah. doesn't matter what it is. So I just decided, you know what? I don't need alcohol. And had just never started again.
Yeah.
I'm very pleased actually that that's happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you see this whole thing around alcohol playing out in the work that you do then? I mean, I'm guessing that, well, I mean, from my own experience, I've said on the podcast a lot of times, you know, that I've, you know, I'm obviously a lot older than you, and I've been around the health and well-being scene for many, many years. And yeah. I've been kind of working in this field for, well, at least, I don't know, at least 15 years. And in all of that time, I've been, you know, as you say, one of the few, in inverted commas, people very aware of naturopathy and all kinds of other remedies, healthy food, everything. I mean, literally everything. I'm queen of holistic living. And yet I was still caning it of a night on the booze. You know, yeah. I mean, it constantly amazes me. Yeah. I can't believe I had that bit of the jigsaw puzzle missing, if you see what I mean. But yeah. I'm guessing you must see people like me all the time who are presenting with an other illness or dis-ease or something mm-hmm. is not quite right. Where does alcohol play a part in all of that, do you find?
So with everyone, I take a very bespoke, unique approach, because no two people experience anything sure. same way. And I do look at people's rhythm and routine. I ask them to fill out a diet diary so I can see how they eat, when they eat, what they drink, how much they drink. Alcohol is a funny thing, because in this country we are binge drinkers compared to lots of other nations.
Mm.
And people know that they shouldn't drink the amount that they do. So I have to trust them that they're honest with what they write down.
Which they probably aren't.
Which they probably aren't. But then on the flip side, I don't want to assume that they're all alcoholics. So it can be quite tricky. I mean, I have had people with they're in a bad place because of alcohol with their health, and because they've got to a point wherein the, you know, the allopathic system, they have been diagnosed with a condition because of alcohol. It then makes my role much easier, because they've acknowledged that drinking has become a bit of a problem.
Right.
I guess it's when they're sort of a few steps back from that they don't necessarily see the impact of drinking. Mm. Or because everyone else is doing it, you know, you don't, like you said, you have a huge wealth of knowledge, and yet you still went out drinking.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
That's what we do.
Because it's so normalized in our culture,
it
literally
so
is. But
normal.
Also, I'd be interested to, you know, the other thing that, again, I've mentioned it a lot, but it never ceases to amaze me just how many articles and studies come out claiming alcohol is good for you. I mean, yeah. there was another one this week about, yeah. I forget which newspaper it was in, and it was basically saying, I'm paraphrasing massively, mm-hmm. if you want to keep your trim, slim body, you know, depending on whether you've got one at the moment, but if you want, that was the headline, if you want to keep your trim, slim body, then have a glass of wine every evening. I mean, what the actual hell?
Yeah,
what are they actually talking about? It must, I mean, I can't think of anything else other than that, you know, the big pharma or whatever it might be, big drinking industry, funds this bizarre research that manages to kind of come down to, I don't know, something in grapes maybe that might be good for you, and then translates it to, oh, if you have one glass of wine, which of course nobody has anyway, then allegedly that keeps you slim. I mean, it's now I can see it's nonsense. What's really interesting is that when I was drinking, I used to think those articles were fantastic.
Or just drink spirits because they haven't got any calories.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness.
You know, It's so difficult. It's, you know, I'm not going to go on a massive anti-journalism rant. It's really challenging because the thing is, research is very rarely in 100% agreement on anything, really, because of who's funding the research and the question that the researchers are asking and where's it going to be published and what's the impact of the results going to be on the XYZ. Research is so complicated. And you know, I found out recently that Harvard, who do amazing research, they're funded massively by the big food manufacturers. So even if they don't mean there to be a bias, there will be because of where the money's coming from.
Absolutely, so it's
really difficult. Then you look at, you know, the Mediterranean diet, and everyone says, you know, how wonderful it is and you'll live forever if you eat that and drink your red wine and all the rest of it, but that's not necessarily taking into consideration environmental factors, digestive health. You know, if your digestive system doesn't work, then you're really going to struggle with anything until you sort that out. So it doesn't really matter if you're drinking, you know, one glass of amazing organic red wine, because if your digestive system isn't working, it's not working. And then, of course, you know, we're so body image obsessed. Anything to make you thin, you'll do it. Regardless of what it is, which is, you know, there's all the challenges that go alongside that. So it's so difficult for the general public to make a decision
really
on what's right. It's impossible. And, you know, in fact, this morning I did a diet diary review with someone and they thought they were doing all the right things. And they were doing a lot of good. And I, you know, praised them for that. And I said, you know, maybe tweak XYZ, and they thought, but I thought that was right. I was like, don't worry about it. This is my knowledge, it's not your knowledge. You know, so don't worry about the fact you didn't realize that you should have done X instead of Y. You can change it, but it's just because of what ends up in, you know, on Google or Twitter or Facebook or wherever it is.
I mean, I would actually do, I mean, now with everything I know now, you know, in hindsight, I don't know about you, but I genuinely do not believe that any amount of alcohol is ever good for you in any situation. I mean, unless I suppose you were, especially if you're dying and you're in the desert, anything's better than nothing. But literally,
or cleaning a wound.
Exactly. And there's that fantastic line. I think it was Catherine Gray in The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober. And she, the brilliant, brilliant line. She says something like, you know, drinking a glass of wine because it's, you know, because it's good for you because of the, you know, red wine because of the resveratrol or whatever is like, you know, saying you're having a burger just because of the gherkin. You know, it's like, what the hell? Oh my goodness.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, isn't it? Let me ask you then, and I completely appreciate that you know, what you do is completely personalized and it's naturopathy is absolutely different for everyone. And as you've already said, there'll be loads of different things in your toolbox, as it were, that you will work with depending on who it is that comes to see you. But if you don't mind being just a bit generic for a moment, what do you find or what would you suggest that most people or many people find that they need to think about when they first give up drinking? Because often what happens is you kind of reach a bit of a crisis point, like that's it, you know, I'm absolutely going to stop. And so you kind of white knuckle it through the not drinking phase. But for most of us, we completely forget to actually put any good stuff back in or do anything to kind of recalibrate our body, which of course doesn't know what the hell has hit it. You know, it's been having copious amounts of alcohol, which, you know, and empty calories and sugar and God knows what on a daily basis. We suddenly stop and then wonder why we feel unbelievably crap. So, I mean, is there anything kind of generically that you could advise that would probably, well, as you would phrase it, do no harm at least.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So there's a few things you can do. So I guess the first thing I'm going to mention doesn't necessarily strictly fall under my side of things, but to make sure you get the emotional help that you need.
Yeah.
You stay away from those people who can't understand why you're not drinking and begging you to go out, and you know, try and eliminate those people from you. And you know, there's nothing wrong with getting any form of talk therapy or counseling. That can be incredibly helpful. In terms of looking after you at a more biochemical level, it's all about the gut. It's all about the digestive system and helping to heal that. So very, very, very vaguely, increase your vegetables. Don't worry so much about fruit. Fruit's high in sugar. Your liver's taking a bashing. You know, there is good stuff in fruit too, but I would say go heavy on the vegetables. Try and eat 3 different colours with your lunch and your supper.
Okay, that's a good way of doing it. Yeah, the kind of eat a rainbow kind of idea.
Exactly. Yeah. Sadly, potatoes don't count in that. So, you know, you've got your leafy green vegetables. They're amazing and they're so nourishing for the liver as well.
Yeah.
You know, get some red in your peppers, your tomatoes, carrots as well, vitamin A. So alcohol can really deplete your vitamin A levels. So eating carrots is brilliant. So if you just try that, your plate is half vegetables, then you're doing really well.
Can I just ask, what about people who are like, oh, I can't possibly do that, I can't eat that much veg? Can you, is it okay if we put those veg into a juice, in your opinion?
Whoa, that's a question and a half. I would say have soup instead.
Would you? Okay. What are you? Do you believe well, tell us why. Is it the?
Okay, so
explain why.
I'm not anti-juicer. It depends on how you make the juice. So if you've got a NutriBullet or similar,
You could make it like a smoothie.
Yeah, that's better because you're keeping all the fiber in the mixture. The downside of a food processor like the NutriBullet, there are other brands available, is that you're smashing the cell walls up when it's turned from the solid vegetable into the liquid. So there is some damage done. Also, the way that the blade works, it causes heat, and heat damages nutrients.
Yeah.
So those are the sort of the downsides of that way. But having said that, you've kept all the fiber in there, so that's really good. If you juice with something like a Vitamix, where it's like the drill bit, and it squeezes.
Yeah.
So the plus sides of that are there's no heat.
Yeah.
So the nutrient stays intact. The downside is that you get rid of most of the fiber, so it turns it into a very sugary drink.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I've heard this said before. You know, I used to be a really, really big fan of juicing, but I do get that. Yeah. So you would say, you know, you can shove all of those veg into a really nice soup and do this.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, in a way, a soup is a bit like a hot smoothie in a way. If you're using a food processor, it's very similar processing.
Yeah.
So soups are good. I guess that's the easiest way to start if you find eating lots of vegetables a challenge.
Yeah.
But if half your plate is vegetables, it leaves a lot less room for other things. So it may mean that actually you do have more space in you for the vegetables because you're not eating as much pasta, for example.
True. And what about the B vitamins? Because that can be something that we're often depleted in.
Yeah, 100%. So B vitamins are so crucial for everything. So once again, this is opening a tin of worms. If you're vegan or vegetarian, it can be a lot harder to get all the B vitamins regardless of alcohol use.
Yeah.
So I'm not anti meat, but it's all about quality and quantity. So I would recommend, I know it's more expensive, I know it's financially not possible for everyone, and I truly understand that. As much as you can, get sort of free range or organic.
Yeah, grass-fed meat.
Exactly, and have it, you know, once, twice a month instead of 3 times a week.
Sure. And then what about the if you are vegan or vegetarian, what would be any sources of B vitamins? Or would you say just go straight for the kind of the high quality supplementation?
Yeah. So with vegetarians, if you are a vegetarian who has eggs, then you can get them that way. If you're vegan, you need supplement.
Yeah.
High quality supplement, 100%.
Yeah, sure.
And then the other things that can really get stripped out are the minerals.
Yes.
So magnesium, most people are magnesium deficient anyway.
Right.
And a really easy way to get magnesium into the body without even having to eat it is to have a bath or a foot bath if you've got a shower with Epsom salts in.
Yeah, great idea. Yeah.
Really, really easy. Really easy. And then zinc is in nuts and seeds as well as meat and eggs. So if you are a vegan or vegetarian, then eating nuts and seeds is a good way to get zinc in. So be mindful of that too. And then it kind of depends on what else is going on with you and what you eat as well. So did you have any other nutrients you wanted to mention?
Well, I mean, I suppose in a sense, when you say start with the gut, it covers it all, doesn't it, really? Yeah. But, you know, I was quite aware that I kind of felt like I needed omega-3s and I needed to kind of,
essential fatty acids.
Get some avocado
crucial.
Down me.
Exactly. Flaxseed oil, chia seeds. So once again, if you're vegan, it's really easy to get your fatty acids in. Coconut is good for that too.
Yeah.
And then also I would probably say get a good probiotic.
Yes. Yes.
As well.
Yeah. I take the liquid
Simproof. It's amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Yeah, I love Simproof.
Liquid bacterial drink. Sounds terrible, but it tastes really fine. the thing I must ask you, because I know this is what people will be thinking, is, you know, well, that's all very well, but actually I've got a raging sugar head on and the chocolate is calling me at 3 a.m. now instead of my voice telling me not to drink. So you know, it's very common, of course. What's the best way to deal with that, given that, you know, when you're first trying to give up the booze, in my opinion, it has to be your priority. You can't try and diet and give up sugar and absolutely everything at the same time. So, you know, are there any healthier alternatives that we can put in to kind of calm that down a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So with sugar, the way to really support your body is to make sure you eat it with some fat and protein, because then it helps balance out the blood sugar levels and stops the high and the crash.
Right.
So absolutely sugar. Yes. So for example, you could have, I know it's not quite the same, but you could have some fruit with some nuts.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to do. Or, you know, a couple of dates.
Yeah. I've mentioned this before on the podcast. If you pop some dates in the freezer, when you take them out, it's like having a smashing chocolate.
Oh, nice. And also with some pecans or walnuts, something like that. Really great. I'm a really big fan of dark chocolate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Really big fan. And if you get 75% or darker, it's got quite a high fiber content in it.
Yeah, but you would still say eat that with a bit of protein, would you?
Ideally, with some, if you can, with some nuts. I mean, the sugar content in dark chocolate is much lower. Or you could buy Lindt do an amazing dark chocolate with hazelnuts in it bar. So that is very delicious. And it will take time for the taste buds to adapt as well. So it may be that, you know, just to get through it, you do need to start off with something much sweeter. And then wean yourself down. So I'm all about you making the best possible choice you can in the moment.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you've given up booze and you end up eating a bar of dairy milk at 3 a.m, so what? Exactly. Yeah. And then we work on it.
Yeah.
So it's just about doing what you can to get through it.
Mm.
But if you can, if you can have something with fat especially and a bit of protein in, you know, or put some, I mean, this might be disgusting, it might be delicious depending on your take, but, you know, you could put some chocolate into some full fat yogurt, for example. You know, do it or make a hot chocolate
yes
with full fat milk, you know. You do it that way. So it's using whatever you need to get through that night.
Yeah.
And then, you know, come the morning, see how you're feeling, maybe begin to adapt things.
And talking of getting through the night, what about sleep? Because this is something that, you know, eventually your sleep, you know, really settles and you feel great. But, you know, at the beginning, it can be disastrous. I mean, my sleep was so messed up for quite a long time, actually. I was very, very grateful that I had a few books and motivational podcasts that kind of said, look, hang on in there because it will get better. But, you know, I think we do have to point out to people that it's not a case of stop drinking and by day two, you kind of sleep through beautifully, because I suppose your body is just adjusting, isn't it? Is there anything you can do to kind of help a little bit towards that good sleep?
Yeah, absolutely. So bath before bed, if you've got a bath. Being in the bath, as long as it's not too hot, you don't want to sort of lobsterfy yourself, as I say. You know, you don't want to cook. Being in the warm to hot water turns off our fight or flight nervous system, and it turns on the rest and digest nervous system, which is the nervous system you want working before bed. It throws us back to being in the womb, which was basically the happiest time of our life. Being in the womb was incredible. So that's what a bath does. Once again, Epsom salts, magnesium helps you sleep. It can help for some, having quite a sort of a carby evening meal. Having oats helps make you sleepy. So having porridge actually can be a really good thing to do. This is a very well-known thing, you know, a bit of lavender essential oil on the pillow or on a tissue. That can really help knock you out. And then it's making sure that, you know, you've been able to exercise a bit in the day, ideally before lunch if it's more cardiovascular, you know, getting the blood pumping, but or going for a walk before bed, writing a to-do list. It's helping your mind turn off so you're as ready as possible for bed. And then, of course, you know, your hormone glands and everything are settling down after the when you're in withdrawal, basically. And then it's trying to stay away from screens. The blue white light is so bad for our sleep. And then it's, if you do wake up, try not to feel frustrated about it. And have, you know, either depending on what you want to do, get out of bed and go and read something, or go and listen to a podcast, or, you know, just accept the fact that this will be happening. You could do some meditation in bed. You know, those sorts of things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's all this positive stuff, isn't it? All these little self-care tips, really. But we have to just remind ourselves, I suppose, of all of these things that probably most of us know are good for us. But when we've spent, you know, years and years just kind of falling into bed, probably with clothes on, you know, we've forgotten, actually. What's that lovely expression? Sleep hygiene. We've forgotten sleep hygiene, haven't we, most of us?
Absolutely.
That's great. Well, listen, I could talk to you for hours, Katie. Clearly, you know, this is very much a holistic approach, and you know, you cover everything. But thank you so much for a few tips there that can just get us started. And tell us where people can find you then. You have a consultancy in Harley Street in London, is that right?
So at the moment, I'm actually around the corner on Wimpole Street. So yeah, I'm actually about to do a big rebrand, but everything will be forwarded onto new domain name once decided. But yeah, I do over the phone, I do in person. And obviously, you know, people can contact, see if I think I might be able to help, no pressure whatsoever. So my website has all the information, contact details. So it's harleystreetnaturopath.co.uk.
Perfect. That's easy to remember. Katie, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. I'll come back to you if that's all right and get some more info at some point.
Perfect. Brilliant. I'd love that.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Yes. Bye.
So check out Katie at Harley Street Naturopath. We'll also invite her into the Sober Club, and she'll do some extra content for us in there. A reminder then, if you would like to join Sony Open for just over a week, thesoberclub.com It's only £9.99 a month for the founder members for the beta rate. And then if you decide you want to continue, you for however long you want to be part of the club, then you stay at that rate. So we're going to close the doors, as it were, in just over a week's time, and we'll just get it all right and get masses and masses and masses of content in there. There's already loads already. And as founder members, you can obviously give us feedback and help us shape that a little bit. And then we'll reopen again in probably in January. But obviously, it's going to be a much higher rate then. So if you want to get in at this incredible price, then please join us. I don't think you'll be disappointed. It's people have been very happy so far with what they've seen in the club. It feels like exactly the right time. And although it's been massively hard work for me, it's also in a funny sort of way been quite effortless. And it's funny, isn't it, when you have these things in your life that when something really feels like the right time, everything kind of flows and people do say yes when you ask them. And although, you know, it's hard work, I heard a business guy say something about, you know, when you've got a project on that just feels really scary, you get that kind of feeling in your gut and you feel scared about the project, then, you know, that's one thing. But when you've got a project coming up and you feel scared, but also really excited, you know you have to go for it. And that's how it's felt for me with the Sober Club. It's been an unbelievably ridiculous amount of work, and I'm totally exhausted. So interestingly enough, I have to listen to some of my own tips because I'm constantly banging on, aren't I, about self-care, the importance of self-care and recharging your own batteries. And here I am, literally at exhaustion point. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and listen to my own shtick and recharge my batteries. But yeah, it's been, as I say, massively hard work, but it feels like exactly the right time and the right people are coming in the group. And if that's you, then please, please join us. We would love to have you as part of this community. If you've made your decision to quit the booze, or if you've already quit the booze or reduced drinking, or maybe you've been sober for a long time, but now the important bit is now you want to focus on what now? How do I get healthy? How do I be my best, live my best life? You know, all of that stuff. What else have I got to tell you this week, by the way? Head spinning, you know, doesn't cover it really. I did see some of the posts on Instagram where a few people were calling out these messages in the media. I think it might have been Sober Dave who was calling out a sign, a big sign, which was at St. Pancras International Station, you know, sort of saying, oh, are you tired? You know, make sure you rest and eat well and, you know, have a drink. You deserve it. Something like that on this massive poster. And kicked off a whole discussion. The other thing, actually, this week, I came across a post where someone was arguing strongly about how good for you wine is, which made me immediately go and write a blog post. You can see it on the Sober Club, actually, on the bit, you know, before you actually join us, there's some blog posts. And I wrote a blog about the fact that, there's some of the stuff I said on the podcast in the last couple of weeks, that my answer to that is just absolute nonsense. You know, it's absolute nonsense. Yes, some people thrive despite drinking wine. I get that completely. And if you're going to drink wine, then yeah, make it a biodynamic one or organic or whatever, and then it will be, you know, perhaps not as, in inverted commas, harmful. But to actually suggest that it's beneficial so that we should all have it is just nuts. Absolutely nuts. But it's so ingrained, isn't it? It's only now we notice these things. I would never have noticed a sign like that before or thought anything of it, really, because it's exactly how I used to feel. So, you know, I can't kind of get on my high horse about any of this because I look back and think, well, that was absolutely me. I was constantly telling myself I'd had a busy day or an exhausting time, you know, like the one I've just had. And you know, therefore, answer, you deserve a treat. A treat is in my case, you know, a glass of wine. And it's such nonsense. I get that now, the benefit of hindsight, as they say. But, you know, I think it is kind of down to us, you know, those of us who are, I kind of, you know, championing all of this. We have to call out these messages. We have to really call it out. We have to change the conversation around alcohol in our society. It's absolutely time to challenge these, you know, totally daft messages that are constantly out there. I think I said in the blog, you know, it's not that many years ago that that there were posters of doctors smoking and effectively saying, yeah, it's really good for you. And look how we view smoking now. I don't know whether it will be the same for alcohol. Sometimes people say that they think that give it 10 years or some people say 5 years and drinking alcohol will be seen to be as, in inverted commas, bad for you as smoking. I don't actually think that is the case. It's interesting. I may have said this before, but because I'm at the moment steeped in this world, if you like, and I'm doing the podcast and I'm opening the Sober Club and I've just done the TED Talk, it's very much my world right now. So one bit of me kind of thinks that the trend, the movement is bigger than it really is, because then with my other hat on, you know, I go and work at the BBC or, you know, go into communities where I'm, you know, talking about natural products. In fact, last week, in addition to everything else I was doing, I went to a party with my publisher. And, you know, lo and behold, well, actually, no, to be fair, there was a green juice to drink. So that was pretty cool. But I mean, how many green juices can you drink? But other than that, it was still water for the non-drinkers. So I'm kind of reminded sometimes that although those of us in this world are delighted that the trend is not a trend, is it? That's a daft thing to say. But the movement, if you like, the revolution, the sober revolution, it's definitely happening and things are changing. But, you know, then you cop that sign, like the one at St. Pancras International or something I put on Instagram last week, some sign outside a pub that, I don't know, again, it was a wine is good for you kind of thing. And the fact that you turn up at an event with people who are meant to be very conscious of health and well-being, and if you're a non-drinker, there's kind of nothing for you. But anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. I just think it's quite interesting that we can. I don't want any of us to get complacent, really. I think we should keep on talking about this stuff and calling out you know, those people that just think we should all just accept that alcohol is the norm. Yes, it is the norm in our society, but that needs to be challenged. We need to change that conversation around alcohol. I have a couple of dates that I want to share with you next weekend, next Sunday, the 22nd of September. I'm going to be speaking at the Wonderment Festival. It's a festival just outside Reading. You can find it on Facebook. It looks like such an amazing retreat. Sorry, not festival, it's retreat. It looks like such an amazing event with yoga and gong baths and chakra healing and all kinds of amazing stuff. And then there's great food, and I'm the kind of lunchtime speaker on the Sunday, and I'll be speaking about, the title of my talk is the same as my TED Talk, Sobriety Rocks, Who Knew? So if you happen to be going to that, or you can get a day ticket, or you'd like to come along, if you look it up on Facebook, it's the Wonderment Retreat. And I'll also post details on my my Facebook page, which is at Janie Lee Grace Loves on Facebook. And then another date for the diary, a little bit further ahead, a bit more notice for this one, if you can get to London on October the 28th, Monday, October the 28th. Instead of our usual self-care for the sober curious events, I'm going to be hosting, or part of, if you like, an event at Hello Love Studio, which is the same venue where I hosted my Platinum Awards. It's a really funky little vegan cafe and studio right in the heart of London in Bloomsbury. And the woman that runs the charity there, Jane, had breast cancer and decided to go with a totally non-toxic approach. And now she offers courses and workshops and trainings and classes and all kinds of things for people with cancer. It's a fantastic place. Really amazing charity, the Hello Beautiful Foundation. And as I said, there's this funky little juice bar and design studio. And across the whole of October, many of you will know that in the UK we have Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But Jane is doing her non-toxic version. So it's great to have a version, if you like, of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but focus completely on the holistic approach. So Monday 28th of October, I'm going to be giving a talk there on benefits of sobriety, if you like. And guess who my special guest is? It is Claire Pooley, author of The Sober Diaries. I'm so made up that she agreed to do that. How sweet of her. So Claire is going to be there talking about her experience with breast cancer and a little bit about her story. And we also, I'm hoping it's kind of confirmed, we'll have Sensa drinks there as well. So you get to have a totally 100% natural mocktail, if you like. Courtesy of Sensa Drinks. I think tickets are £10 and it's free for concessions, and it's at Hello Love or Hello Beautiful Foundation. The Eventbrite link will be up very soon, but put that one in your diary. It's quite a small venue, so we're not going to be able to have too many people there, but it'd be just great if you wanted to come along and I get a chance to meet some of you there. Just one more time, the plug for the Sober Club. I absolutely love it if you want to be involved, or if you know anyone else who you think might resonate. If you're not a massive Facebook user, it doesn't matter. The Facebook group is rocking and it's a fantastic part of it, but it isn't essential. It's not the membership. You know, the Sober Club has a whole load of stuff within its own website, if you like. So obviously the podcasts are all there and we've got extra bonus content from lots of our podcast guests. The course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze, is in there. That's a 90-day online course. And there's a little section called Mindset Buzz, which is, as you can imagine, a whole host of things. At the moment, we've got William Porter's little videos on beating cravings. We've also got Janet Thompson, who's an NLP practitioner and TFT expert, giving us some great stuff around again, beating cravings. There's stuff about EFT, emotional freedom technique. We're going to have some meditations and visualizations in there. We've got Elsa Frank's hypnosis download. And then over in the nutrition and fitness bars, we've already got some videos and interviews around Pilates and some little video workouts there, and various bits and bobs around nutrition. I could go on and on and on, but just probably better if you just take a look if you're interested. It's thesoberclub.com. And I've got some great guests lined up on the podcast, by the way. Really, really exciting stuff coming up. I'm still hoping that I'm going to be able to get Annie Grace on the podcast. Of course, she's had the most amazing time with her event and last weekend, I think it was. And I'm hoping she's going to be a guest on the podcast. We're just going to try and get it firmed up. That'd be so cool, won't it? And there's a few other exciting, well, everyone's exciting and everyone has a great story to share. So always loads more great guests. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you again to those of you who just like signed up the minute I launched the Sober Club. I was so just blown away, really. So thank you for all of your support and the fabulous, lovely messages I've had from people saying that they love the TED Talk and they love the podcast. It really makes it worthwhile. I've said lots of times before, when I first started this podcast, I really only started it because I'd run out of podcasts to listen to that I really wanted to listen to. And I couldn't kind of wait a week or whatever. So I thought, you know, I'm going to have to start one of my own so that I can grab these great people and interview them. And so, you know, I really had no expectations of whether anyone would listen or not. And as you probably know, I've never really PR'd it particularly, just a few posts here and there. So it shows there's a real interest, a real need for this great kind of positive stuff at the moment. I think that's probably my the thing that underpins everything for me is the positive approach. So thank you again, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast with Jamie Lee Grace. Please subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us, share on social media, and tune in again.